Welcome, friends. I'm Clinton DeFrance, and this is Landmark Q&A. At Christian Landmark, we believe the Bible holds the answers to life's greatest questions. This week, we conclude a short series addressing questions about human gender and sexuality. The two previous episodes discussed the origin of gender and sexual confusion. Today, we shall address God's offer of hope to those who struggle from gender and sexual confusion. Our question reads thusly: if people struggle with same-sex attraction or gender confusion, what does Christianity offer them? Are they simply doomed to a life with no satisfaction or happiness? This question is, we have no doubt, both emotional and sincere. Surely it is comforting to learn, as we did in a previous week, that sexual and gender confusion are not natural problems, and parents can guard their developing children against them, even as they would guard them against problems related to alcohol, drugs, and pornography. But what of those who are already past childhood, and for whatever reason, have acquired struggles over gender and sexuality, especially those who sexually desire the same gender and have no desire for the opposite gender, or those who feel that they identify with a gender other than what they are biologically? Does the Christian message and system offer any solace to these troubled souls? Certainly the answer is yes. Jesus Christ gives hope to all sinners and all who struggle with sin. For the confused, the Bible gives a true answer. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, verses 31 and 32. In verse 34, Jesus clarifies that he offers freedom from the delusion, depression, and damnation that comes from enslavement to sin. Hendrickson described it this way: one is free not when he can do what he wishes to do, but when he wishes to do and can do what he should do. Most people in the world today have no idea what way they should go, and that is not a problem simply for the sexually and gender confused. That is the problem of sinful humanity. Jeremiah 10:32 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." To all sinners, to all who are confused about how they should live in this world, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." John 14 and 6. That exclusivity should not be discouraging. Quite the contrary, it should be thrilling. There is one simple answer for all mankind. As we've already noted in the previous presentations of this series, the Bible speaks directly to the issues of gender and sexual identity with clear statements about the Creator's will and purpose for humanity. For the guilty, the Bible offers a plan of forgiveness. The Bible plan is full of grace and mercy, based on the work of Jesus Christ in satisfying the demands of justice against our wrong deeds through his sacrificial suffering, and simple in its instruction for how to appropriate God's forgiveness to one's account. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. First, note that homosexuals and those who practice transgenderism are given the plain truth that such behavior will keep them out of heaven. This may not be good news, but it is certainly better to know it now than later. And against this backdrop of bad news is set a diamond of divine grace. Such were some of you. Sinful behavior of any sort can be left in the past, and with it, guilt and the condemnation of God. What was it that allowed the sexually immoral to transform from lost sinners to saved saints? He says, "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The washing here has reference to Christian baptism, Acts 2 and 38. That act of faithful obedience to Jesus, wherein we are saved, Mark 16, 16, and our sins are washed away, Acts 22, 16. What better gift could be given to a dirty, filthy, shameful past than the hope of being washed clean? Then Paul says, "But you were sanctified." Sanctification has reference to being set apart from the world in our minds and conduct. The Apostle Paul speaks to this experience in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The renewing of the mind is a process affected not only by studying the Bible and learning the truth, but also by practical application of biblical teaching. When a sinner practices repentance, self-denial, and self-sacrifice in favor of following God's will, there comes a point in the process of time when the sinner's will actually changes. I'm not speaking of reparative therapy. That may accomplish some good, but I'm speaking of the general nature of the gospel. I personally know men and women who had exclusively same-sex attraction, but after a time of dedication and self-denial, experienced a transformation of their minds and can no longer even relate to those feelings. If you doubt that, I do invite you to contact me, and some of these people would be willing to share their experiences with you. But renewing of the mind can only follow self-denial and holy living. Avoid pornography for a year. Deal with your alcohol or drug problem. Read your Bible and spend time in prayer or good works when you're tempted to watch or read or think on immoral things, and then check the condition of your mind. See what your appetites are. Do you still hunger for what God says is wrong? You'll be amazed by the change. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, Paul sees the end of the Christian experience being justification for the sinner. God declares him or her not guilty. In justification, sinners receive the ultimate satisfaction of lasting, eternal peace with God. We live in the delusion that following fleshly lusts leads to happiness. It does not. Over and again, the Bible acknowledges that sinful behavior, whether drinking alcohol or sexual immorality or stealing or simply the arrogant decision to ignore God, all seems right and good and pleasant at the start. But at the last, when it is finished, when it matures to adulthood, the ends thereof are the ways of death. They that sow in tears, repenting today, shall reap in joy, being saved tomorrow. Whoever you are, and whatever your struggle or confusion, Jesus offers the greatest answer, the greatest deliverance, and the greatest end. Do you want those blessings? Please contact us or a Church of Christ near you for assistance in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Clinton DeFrance, inviting you to join us next week for another question answered on Landmark Q&A.